As we do that, please turn to the book of Job, chapter 1. We're going to be reading a sizable portion. I'll try to read it quickly, but Job chapter 1, verse 1 to 2, verse 10 is what we're going to read. The title of my message is Receiving Evil from God for the Glory of God. That's controversial. Receiving evil from God for the glory of God. The question we want to answer is, what is the Christian response when God brings evil? Each word of that is carefully chosen. We're going to see it from the text. Job chapter 1, verse 1. If you're able, please stand with me for the reading of the Word of God. If you're snuggled in under your blanket, that's okay. You can. If you're hot-blooded like me, you're okay. So, Job chapter 1 and verse 1, this is the word of the Lord. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. There were born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He possessed 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen and 500 female donkeys and very many servants. So that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. His sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day, and they would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them, and when the days of the feast had run their course, Job would send and consecrate them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus Job did continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down on it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, who fears God and turns away from evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your hand. Only against him do not stretch out your hand." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in the oldest brother's house, and there came a messenger to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you." And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "The Chaldeans formed 3 groups and made a raid on the camels and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And behold, a great wind came upon the wilderness and struck the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you." Then Job arose, and tore his robe, and shaved his head, and fell on the ground, and worshipped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where have you come?" Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and walking up and down on it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil? He still holds fast his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without reason. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, all that a man has he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to his face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand, only spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with loathsome sores from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took a piece of broken pottery with which to scrape himself while he sat in the ashes. And then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women would speak. Shall we receive good from God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Lord, we ask that you would give us understanding. Be with me as I speak. Be with us all as we listen, Lord, to your word. We pray that your word would be to us a precious gift and a correcting force. Lord, would we leave here as Job, Lord, those who fall on our face and worship and say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Is it okay to be angry at God? I wonder what our initial response is to that question. Is it okay to be angry at God? That's not merely a question that should lead to an interesting discussion or speculation. This question has massive practical implications for our lives, because the Bible says God brings evil into our lives. We'll speak about what that means as we go, but we know what the Lord brings. He brings cancer and heartbreak, difficult children, car accidents, the death of those we love, drought, floods, financial ruin, disappointments, childlessness, theft, slander, gossip, betrayal. Is it okay to be angry with the Lord when he brings that evil upon us? I think there's two common answers among professing Christians today, possibly the most common, and they're both wrong. One says it is okay to be angry with God because he can handle it. This answer assumes that God is like a divine emotional therapist, and he doesn't mind if we exercise our fury against him. The only concern with this answer is whether or not God himself has good enough self-esteem that he won't be triggered or hurt by our anger. That's not the God of the Bible. The second answer to the question is, to the question, is it okay to be angry with God, is no, because God doesn't bring evil into our lives. I remember wrestling with this as a much younger man. A husband and wife in our church died a few years apart from different causes, and they left two fairly young children behind. And the most common explanation for this at the time was, God has nothing to do with this evil. He's just as sad and maybe even surprised as everybody else. Satan did it. God didn't do it. And therefore, it's not right to be angry at God because it's misplaced anger. He didn't cause it. That answer is also wrong, because in the text of Job that we just read, Job clearly says we receive evil from God. Evil like the death of parents and the death of Job's children. There's a biblical answer to the question, is it okay to be angry with God? And we find the answer in the book of Job. The answer is no, it's not okay to be angry with God, because when God brings evil upon us, he is not wrong in doing so. We'll see that as we go. Remember the overarching question I want to answer here. What is the Christian response when God brings evil? The answer is worship, not anger. Now, the passage we read is quite long. I want to focus on three verses that I think kind of bring the passage to a head and really bear upon these three verses as we go here. And we find Job's response when God brings this evil upon him. And these three verses are Job chapter 1, verses 20 to 22. I hope you keep your Bibles open. We're going to be almost only in these few passages in Job chapter 1 and 2. And just, I want to read this again, verses 20 to 22 of Job 1. Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshipped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. We're going to see four responses here that Job had to this evil God brought upon him. And we understand all of these responses as proper responses, as responses for our example and instruction, because the verse 22 tells us, in these things, Job did not sin. And so Job here is an example to us. The first response Job has is Job grieves the evil. First part of verse 20, Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head. This is very common biblical language for grief and sorrow and lament. He's not wrong in doing so. He has lost his animals, which was his wealth, right? He lost his retirement plan. He lost his servants. And even worse, he lost all of his sons and all of his daughters in a single day. Everything's lost in a day. And when Job hears of this great loss, he grieves and sorrows and laments. And he's not wrong in this. We can sometimes have in our minds that if we grieve deeply in loss, we are somehow not acting as Christians ought to act. We say, well, we have Christ, we have forgiveness of sins, we have the hope of eternal glory in the presence of God. And so if we grieve loss of physical things, maybe we're not very good Christians. But that's not the biblical picture. The saints in the Bible grieve, and Job grieved very deeply. When God gives us good things, and then those things are gone, it is right and it is good to grieve. Loss is part of this fallen world, but will not be present when Christ brings the fullness of his kingdom. I've lost my spot. So to the extent that this world is out of step with the coming kingdom, and in this world we all have trouble and grief, it is good to grieve and at the same time long for what is to come. But we don't grieve as those who have no hope. We do still grieve, though. Grief or even anger at the evil that comes upon us should not be confused with being angry at God. Those are two different things. God intends the grief of loss to lead us to Him for His mercy, not away from Him in anger. So bringing lament to God is not the same as being angry with God. Now the second way Job responds is he confesses that everything good that he has ever had comes as a free gift of God. In verse 21, he says, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I shall return. The Lord has given. The Lord gave." Here's what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, "I've worked my whole life to get these camels and these sheep and these donkeys, and I've raised my sons and my daughters. I've obtained this for myself. How dare the Lord take away what is mine?" That's not how he speaks at all. He says, "When I was born, I had nothing. And when I die, I'll bring nothing with me." Babies don't come with a suitcase. And they say hearses don't have trailers. He says the Lord gave. The Lord gave. Everything we have is a gift from God. And when we forget that God was gracious to give us what we have, then we become angry that the Lord has taken it away because He has done us wrong. But in fact, there's nothing we have that has not been given by a free gift of God. He has given us our bodies with various levels of health. If we're here today, we have some levels of health to be thankful for. He's given us our jobs, every cent in our bank account, our families, our friendships, our church, our health, our contentment, our food, retirement savings, education and opportunities. Everything we have is a gift from the Lord. And yet when these things are removed, how easily our hearts say, "How dare you take what is mine, God? This is mine. I own it." But Job realizes he doesn't. It's been given freely by the goodness of God. And so as we grieve the loss of good things, and remember, it's still good to grieve, let us also say, I'm thankful that I had this good for this season. God has been good to me. I didn't deserve it, and now it's gone. And I grieve, but it was a gift from God. Now let's move on to Job's third response. Job has confessed that what he had has been given to him by God. Now he confesses that God has taken away what is good. God has taken it away. We'll spend far more time here than on the first two responses because this is the hard part, isn't it? We naturally grieve loss. It's normal. And it's fairly easy for us to understand. Yes, God has given me everything that I've ever had by His grace. But to understand what is meant by the statement, God has taken away what is good, or we have received evil from the Lord, that's much harder to think about as Christians. But it is essential that we do the hard work this morning, that we look carefully at the text of Scripture and see this, because if we arrive at some other conclusion, other than that God is ultimately behind all the evil that comes upon us, we will end up worshiping a very different God than the one we find in the Bible. And so we need to very carefully consider what the Bible says and look at the words that the Holy Spirit used in Scripture to guide us. Now, first we need to understand what is meant by the word evil. This matters because in Job 2, verse 10, Job asks, "Shall we receive good from God and shall we not receive evil?" That word is heavy there. It says, we receive evil from the Lord. So we need to understand what we mean by that. Evil in the Bible essentially means what is opposite of good. That's obvious. We know this. But we see what it means in context, don't we? Good here means the wealth of the animals, his family, his seven sons and three daughters, the health of his body. This is what is good that he has received from the Lord. And the evil is the opposite of that. Evil, most broadly, is the loss of what is good or the distortion of what is good. Good is what is desirable and pleasing, and evil is what is undesirable and not pleasing. Now, we often break evil down into two categories, which are really helpful. The first one is what we commonly think of the word, we think moral evil, right? Wickedness. Moral evil is when someone sins against you or you are harmed in some way by sin, by moral evil. Now, Job experienced some of his loss through moral evil. In chapter 1:15, we see the Sabaeans stole Job's donkeys and they killed his servants. In verse 17, we see the Chaldeans stole his camels and killed his servants. These are sins, right? Murder and theft. And so part of the evil Job received is moral evil done by morally responsible human beings. And we receive moral evil, don't we, as we suffer from gossip and slander and theft and harsh words and violence and persecution. There's another category of evil that we call natural evil. Natural evil is not moral evil, but it's calamity or the loss of something good that happens by so-called natural causes. Now, Job experienced this kind of evil in chapter 1:16 when a fire fell from heaven and burned the sheep and his servants, presumably lightning. He suffered natural evil in chapter 1, verse 19, when a great wind came across the wilderness and struck the house and his children died. He suffers natural evil in chapter 2, verse 7, when he was afflicted with sores, a disease from head to foot. So natural disasters, natural diseases were part of the evil that Job suffered. And we also suffer from this, don't we? Farmers know this, right? Up until today, it was dry season. It's the drought, that's a natural evil. Or floods. Or someone loses control on an icy road and a life is lost. Cancer, heart disease, or illness of any kind, these are natural evil. Now, this distinction between moral and evil and natural evil is really important because in the Bible, we are to punish, as a general society, we are to condemn moral evil, but we can't condemn natural evil. And so when someone has a car accident, the officials are supposed to figure out, was this caused by moral evil or was it naturally caused? And there's a difference. But insofar as the two evils come upon the lives of Christians, they're to be viewed in many ways as the same. Job treats this all the same. This is loss to Job. And most importantly, Job believes that God has brought both natural evil and moral evil upon him. He believes this is from the Lord. I think it's helpful for us to understand that when God either gives or takes away, he does so through what we might call ordinary means, right? He gives through the work that Job did, and he takes away through thieves and fires and windstorms and diseases. These things like that, these are almost always the immediate cause of the evil that comes into our lives, right? They're ordinary things. And yet we also need to understand that the evil that comes isn't just on the level of ordinary things. There's something behind it. And so the book of Job opens the curtain and gives us a glimpse behind the moral and natural evil, and we see what's going on in the spiritual world, the things that lead to what we see in our lives. So now we want to look at, we're still getting to God as sovereign over evil, but we want to look now at the satanic cause of evil. That's very much present in our text. The name Satan is really the Hebrew word, Satan, it's the same. And it means adversary or accuser. So Satan in the Bible is the ruler of the fallen angels. And as his name suggests, he attacks us mainly through accusation. And here we get a glimpse into what he's doing and the spiritual realities behind the visible realities in our lives. So in chapter 1, Satan meets with God. We won't even get into what kind of meeting this is. I don't know. But God presents Job to Satan in verse 8. He says, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns from evil." So God presents Job to Satan and says, look at this man. And Satan turns and he accuses Job, doesn't he? In verses 9 to 11, then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in land. But stretch out your hand and touch what he has, and he will curse you to his face. He's saying, Job doesn't really love you, God. He just loves stuff. Now we need to understand three things about the role of Satan in the evil that comes into our lives. First, Satan does evil in our lives through both moral and natural evil. In Job 1, it is implied that Satan caused the loss of Job's riches and his family, because Satan departs from the Lord and then these things happen. Now in chapter 2, verse 7, it's explicit, isn't it? It says, Satan went out and struck Job with sores. Satan did it. He stands behind the moral and natural evil of the world. The second thing we need to notice is Satan's purpose in bringing evil into our lives is to destroy the glory of God. This is his purpose. With Job, Satan wants to prove that Job doesn't love God. Job only loves stuff. That's why he's doing this. This is Satan's purpose for loss in your life. When evil comes upon you, Satan is trying to prove that you only love God for the stuff he gives you and not for God. That's why it comes to you. One of the reasons. So if something bad happens, this is what Satan's motivation is. I want this person to curse God because the stuff has been taken. They're suffering. It's a great test of our faith. Third thing we want to notice is Satan's power is limited by God. Chapter 1, verse 12, we see the Lord said to Satan, Behold, all that he has is in your hand. Only against him do not stretch out your hand. In chapter 2, verse 6, the Lord said to Satan, Behold, he is in your hand. Only spare his life. Satan has no power and no authority beyond the limits that God has assigned to him. And Martin Luther even says that the devil is God's devil. He only does what God permits him and enables him to do. But we are supposed to beware of the purpose of the devil, aren't we? 1 Peter 5, verse 8 says, Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. How does he devour us? Not physically. Not even by destroying our prosperity, but by destroying our faith. That's his aim. He'll try to destroy your faith by destroying the good things that God has given you. He will also try to destroy your faith by giving you good things so that you love them instead of loving God. This was a problem in Laodicea, wasn't it, in the book of Revelation. They said, we're rich, we have so much stuff, we don't need the Lord. This is Satan's aim in our lives. His mission is to have us curse God and turn away from God. That's his only mission. He doesn't care if you're happy or healthy or wealthy or rich or prosperous or successful. He doesn't care what any of that. As long as we're not worshiping God, he's happy. That's his mission. And so we must be on guard. Now we've seen natural and moral evil. We've seen behind this, Satan is causing evil. But now we need to get back to Job's words in chapter 1, 21. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Chapter 2, verse 10. Shall we receive good from God and shall we not receive evil? Implied from God. In the story of Job, we're not told that Job is aware of this conversation between Satan and God. He probably isn't aware of it. And the role of Satan in the story is actually less important than the role of God in this evil. Satan's role is almost incidental. He's almost being used as a pawn by God, in which it's certainly true. The main question is not how Job responds to Satan, but how Job responds when God brings evil. And we can make no mistake, God brings evil into the life of Job. That's what the text says. The Lord took away Job's wealth and famine. That's what Job says in chapter 121 and chapter 2, verse 10. When Job received evil from the Lord, he said, the Lord did it. This is astonishing. It's astonishing because in verse 7, it says, Satan struck Job with sores. And three verses later, Job says, the Lord did this to me. And he's true in his words, right? In all these things, Job did not sin with his lips. It's not a sin to say we have received evil from the hand of God. It's a true statement. As surely as the good comes from the Lord, the evil comes from the Lord. It's made explicit again at the end of Job. Job chapter 42:11, here the narrator is speaking. It says, then came to him all his brothers and sisters and all who had known him before, and they ate bread with him in the house, and they showed him sympathy and comforted him for all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Are we comfortable with that language? That's tricky. All the evil the Lord had brought upon him. This is stated also clearly in Isaiah 45, verse 7. Here God is speaking. He says, I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. The word calamity is the same word as evil in Job. Now the translation helps us understand what is meant by evil, right? Isaiah is not saying God is morally evil, but he brings this destruction. The word make in Isaiah, I make evil, that's from Genesis 1:1, same word in the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. God brings it. We do need to point out, this doesn't mean that God himself is morally evil, or that he himself is guilty of wrongdoing. In chapter 1, verse 22, it says, in all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. God is not wrong in anything he does. It doesn't mean that he himself is evil, because he is not. He cannot do evil and he cannot be tempted by sin. He is not unjust. He is not immoral when he brings these things upon us. This is what the Word of God teaches. And there's great mystery there that we won't unravel this morning. We also want to note very clearly that the evil God brings upon Job is not because of Job's sin, is it? The first verse of the book of Job tells us that Job was an upright man. He was blameless and upright. He fears God and he turns from evil. God did not bring this upon Job because of Job's sin, but because of Job's righteousness. You see that in the story? Remember Satan's purpose in evil? Satan wants to prove that God's people love the good things God gives them instead of God. God also has a purpose in bringing this into our lives, and his purpose is the opposite. God brings evil into our lives to prove that we love him more than the gifts he gives us. This is clearly revealed in the story. It is God who points out Job to Satan. God starts this whole thing off, doesn't he? Have you considered my servant Job? He loves me. He follows me. He fears me. He's almost provoking Satan to bring evil upon Job so that God would be glorified when Job says, I love God more than my stuff. God's greatest goal is that he receives the greatest glory. When Job loses everything and still loves God, Job's life glorifies God, doesn't it? And this is one of the purposes of God bringing evil into our lives. There's many purposes. But his purpose is that our love for God would be shown for what it is. It would be shown to be true. He wants to make much of himself by proving that his people love him above all other things. This is clear also in the New Testament in 1 Peter 1, verses 6 to 7. Peter says, in this, that is, in this hope of heaven you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. So those necessary trials, that means God brings them. Why? So that to test the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. God brings evil, necessary suffering into our lives to prove the genuineness of our faith. When evil comes, will we curse God because he's taken away from us what we love the most? It's a good test of what you love. When God takes it, do you curse him for it? Or when evil comes, do we grieve the loss deeply, but cling to Christ because in him we have what we love the most? So God stands beside or behind all evil events in this way. Moral and natural evil are the immediate cause of evil in our lives, right? This is how we suffer. And behind that stands Satan, whose purpose is to make us turn from God. And behind all the moral and natural evil, behind the purposes of Satan, and working sovereignly in and through all of these things, is God and his purpose of displaying his glory in the testing of his saints. So we've seen three responses of Job. He grieved the presence of evil. He acknowledges God has given me everything good. And he acknowledges God has taken away everything good. Now, most important question is the last response. Knowing these three truths, how then do we respond? Job's wife acknowledges the same truth, doesn't she? She recognizes this evil has come from God. She doesn't doubt that. But that's not enough. That's not good enough. Because her response fulfills Satan's purpose for evil. Chapter 2, verse 9. His wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die." That's her counsel. "Everything is gone, Job. Your wealth is gone. Your children are gone. Your health is gone. God didn't work out for you. You did everything right. You were blameless. There's no sin that could be charged against you. And this is what you get? Curse him. Curse God, Job, and die." Now, if we're honest with ourselves, we have to admit that's a temptation that wells up in our souls when God brings evil into our hearts. We say, "God, you're not dealing fairly with me. What did I do to deserve this?" It's a temptation to turn our anger against evil, but instead turn it against God who sent it. But Job doesn't do that at all. Job does not do this. The last response of Job we need to see is Job worships. Job worships. Chapter 1, verse 20, Job fell on the ground and worshiped. To worship is literally to prostrate yourself, to lie down, to face first in worship of God. It is to submit oneself and all that one has under the lordship of God. And Job says, "The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. All I have ever had has come from God. Now he has taken it back. But I'm a debtor to grace, and God is good to me. Therefore, praise the name of the Lord." God's purposes for evil prevailed in the life of Job. He did not curse God when evil came. Instead, he blessed God. He worshiped God. He didn't have all the answers. He didn't know all the reasons why God brought this evil upon him. But he knew God. And He worshipped. He knew God and he worshipped. Now we know a lot more about God and his good purposes for us than Job did. Job is one of the earliest stories in the Bible that we have written. We are this side of the cross. What good does God have for us? What good has he promised for us? He didn't spare his own son, but gave him up for us all to demonstrate his commitment to our good. In him we have redemption of our sins, the forgiveness of our sins. We have the adoption as sons and daughters of God. We have forgiveness. We have reconciliation with God. We have been given a promise that we will reign forever in glory with Christ in the presence of God forever. We have the commitment. All things work together for good. So the evil that God brings into our lives is not the final word. He uses those things for good in us. Good will win in the end. And yet we often, when the Lord takes away, are drawn to anger at the Lord. This should never be. This should never be in our hearts. But we would confess it is. And so we must repent of that. This is something that we need to repent for when we are guilty of it. When we shake our fist at God and say, "How dare you bring evil into my life?" We ought to repent. Because God is far better to us than we could ever deserve. And so we ought to be like Job and we say, "The Lord gave, the Lord takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord." And we know God's good purposes displayed most clearly in the cross of Jesus Christ. On the cross we see the worst moral evil that has ever happened in the history of the world. Jesus deserved no evil done against him. He was perfectly sinless in everything he did. Job was still a human being. He still had sins. We aren't told about them. But Christ had done no sin ever. And yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. To bring evil upon him. And great moral evil sinners killed Jesus, didn't they? They were responsible. And behind the moral evil was Satan, trying to get Jesus to turn against God when everything was taken away from him. But behind that is God's purpose, to crush his son, not only for our good, but even for the good of Christ. Because Christ looked forward to the joy that was set before him, and he knew glory's coming if I endure this evil that my Father is bringing upon me. And Christ endured and died for our sins and was raised to glory and seated at the right hand of God. So in Christ we have this great guarantee that when God brings evil into our lives, when he brings loss, when he takes away the good things that he's given us, there is glory to come. And that is how we can stand with Job or prostrate ourselves with Job and say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this example of Job, a man who lost everything but didn't lose God. Lord, we pray that we would be like him and say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Lord, that we would not turn to theological tricks to try to excuse you from the things that you do, but that we would boldly say in our lives and to those around us, "Yes, the Lord has brought hardship and suffering upon me, but the Lord is good, and we know the purposes of God. We know that all these things work for our good and for his eternal glory." Pray that we would be a church that walks in the joy of this truth. Amen.